Okay, Chavra, let's continue our learning of Masechet Shabbos. Basically, the question of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah, I should say, is that we have the Ikar Mitzvah, then there is the Mahadrin, and then there is the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Those are the three levels of Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah. And what we pointed out is that there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Tosfos about whether the mitzvah of Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin goes back to the original mitzvah, or does Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin modify the Mahadrin? And therefore, according to the Rambam, what happens is that the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin modifies the Mahadrin, and if I have eight members of the family, so on the eighth night of Chanukah, so the head of the household, let's say, will light 64 candles, right? Math majors, right? 8 times 8 is 64. That works. Amazing. The Balei HaTosfos, however, disagree, and they assume that Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin is only modifying the Ikar Mitzvah, and therefore, the eighth night of Chanukah, you light 8 candles. Adkan, what we discussed last time. Now, just one quick diuk in the Tosfos that's worth focusing on. Who lights all the candles, according to the Balei HaTosfos? Meaning, in that middle shita that, like, nobody does, the shita of the Mahadrin, who would light all the candles? What? The Baal HaBayis. Where do you see that in Tosfos? The Tosfos Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, yeah. There's like one Atara?
Right, so they emo send there with all Echad, where it's one person
doing
for
Echad. Well, that's sort of what the Gemara said, right? That you're Mosef Cho Echad the Echad. I mean, I
doesn't say that each person lights it, it's just saying you light according to the number of the house.
Correct. So the Gemara sounds that way, but I think the way Tosfos says it is even more mefurish. Tosfos writes, Afilo Yosef Mikan Ve'elach. It sounds like he adds on. Right? It doesn't say like Yosifu, it says Yosef. You get an impression that there's only one Madlik of all the Neros. Now, of course, everyone and their aunt is bothered by the nusach of the Ramah, because the Ramah paskins that what we do is we have everyone light a candle, or everyone light a menorah, in different places in the same area. And l'cha'ora, that is not according to the Rambam or according to Tosfos, because according to the Rambam, the Baal HaBayis would light, let's say, 80 candles. According to the Baal HaTosfos, the Baal HaBayis would light 8 candles. So and even if you want to work within Mahadrin of Tosfos, so let's assume we're trying to be Yotzei that, so it should be that the Baal HaBayis lights all the different menorahs. The fact that our practice is that everyone lights seems to be a little bit difficult, because it doesn't have any genuine source among the early authorities, among the Rishonim. So that's something to hold on to. I think it's a bit of a question within our approach. Okay, Zolzayin. Next. Rebbe Kiva Eger in his Tshuva discusses whether we make a bracha on Hiddur Mitzvah in general. I saw that there was a chevra who was having a lot of fun in the Beis Medrash going through this tshuva of Kiva Eger. It happens to be a lot of fun. Hey, this tshuva is really... Michal is smiling. But are you going to deny that this was fun?
It was wonderfully exciting. I mean that so seriously.
Okay. Baruch Hashem. Now, the question that Reb Kiva Eger discusses is... what happens if a person is lighting Chanukah candles and whatever, you have temporary amnesia and you forgot to make the bracha beforehand and you lit a candle or two and then you remember, oh my gosh, I didn't make a bracha, what do you do? What do you do in that case? So Reb Kiva Eger in the first two paragraphs of the Tshuva says, when it comes to the brachos of She'asa Nisim and the bracha of Shehachiyanu, those brachos obviously you could make after you light the candles, because the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim is fundamentally a birchas haro'eh, according to many Rishonim, no? Now, Soloveitchik, for example, used to comment that the proper thing to do when you light Hanukkah candles, you can only do this after the first night. The first night, it's not shayach, but first you make the bracha lahadlik, you light one candle, then you make the Sha'asa Nisim, and you light the rest of the candles. Because the Sha'asa Nisim, there's a discussion in the Rishonim, hopefully we'll get there pretty soon, there's a discussion in Rishonim, is the Sha'asa Nisim a birchas ha-mitzvah on the Neros Chanukah, or is it not a birchas ha-mitzvah, but it's a birchas shevach v'hoda'ah? You know, brachos can be broken down into different categories. There's brachos I recite, like when I eat food, those are birchas ha-nehenin. I assume that the bracha on Chanukah candles is not a birchas ha-nehenin, we're not eating them. Okay, so far so good. What type of bracha do you make? Is it a birchas ha-mitzvah? Birchas ha-mitzvah you have to make before you do the mitzvah? Or is it birchas shevach v'hoda'ah? Birchas shevach v'hoda'ah, like the paradigm of that, would, let's say, be the bracha on thunder. I don't make the bracha before the thunder comes, for a number of reasons. Right? You make the bracha after. It's birchas shevach v'hoda'ah. You make a bracha when you see the Grand Canyon, after you saw it. Right? You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this great thing. Similarly, we could say that the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim is a birchas shevach v'hoda'ah, that we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the beautiful mitzvah that we have. It's not a matir, so to speak. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that birchas ha-mitzvah are a matir. We'll talk about this a little more in a few minutes. Birchas ha-mitzvah as a matir means that just like I'm not allowed to eat food until I make a bracha. Kohanehne may olam hazeh b'lo bracha k'ilu ma'al. Right? The Gemara says that if I eat an apple without a bracha, it's like I'm getting pleasure from the Ribbono Shel when I'm not allowed to, right? Hashamayim shamayim lahashem, or it's not the Adam. Only after I make the bracha does it become mine. So the Rav used to say that birchas ha-mitzvah is also a matir. Every time we do a mitzvah, we're coming closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it would be presumptuous for a human being to try to approach the divine. You can't. How am I going to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam? I can't do it. The answer is, I ask permission, called the bracha. So birchas ha-mitzvah is a matir. Birchas shevach v'hoda'ah l'chora is not a matir. Birchas shevach v'hoda'ah is that I thank Hashem afterwards for giving me this special thing, this special mitzvah. So the Rav used to say that by hadlakas neiros chanukah, you make the bracha of lahadlik before you light, and then after you light candle one, you should make the birchas Sha'asa Nisim, because I want it to be a bracha on the re'iyah of Ner Rishon and a birchas ha-mitzvah for Ner Sheni. I want a double dip. That's what the Rav used to say. So Rabbi Kivager says, well, the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim and the bracha of Shehecheyanu, obviously you can make after you light the candles. That's not a problem. And even though the Maharil says that you should make all the brachas before you light, that's l'chatchila. But obviously, if you didn't make the Sha'asa Nisim, you can make it after. But what about the bracha of l'hadlik? L'cha'ora, after I lit the candle, I'm not adding anything. It's only hider mitzvah. I was already yotzei based on ner ishu beso. So how can I make the bracha after I lit? So Rabbi Kivager says, I could bring a raya. Me'ikar hadin, you're yotze with ner ishu beso. That means you are already yotze the mitzvah. Now everyone else in the family is going to light. L'cha'ora, they're only lighting for hider. So you see, you can make a bracha on the hider mitzvah.
I thought
so first I am kind of embellishing. He says, maybe, okay, I have to be nice to Adina. Right? Maybe you could bring a raya from the fact that we all make a bracha when we all light the candles at home. Even though we were yotzei. Because after the first person lit the menorah, we're all yotzei. So maybe you could make a bracha, and we still make a bracha. So doesn't that show that you make a bracha on hider mitzvah?
And then he said no.
Huh?
And then he said,
then he says no. Why does he say no? Elishava?
Because you're having in mind that you're not being yotzei with the other person.
So says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, no, because you are kavanoso shelo lotzeis b'shel zahamadlai. You have kavana not to be yodzei. Even if you hold that mitzvos ein srichos kavana, but we paskin that if I have kavana not to be yodzei, I for sure am yodzei. The Chassam Sofer is quoted in the Mishnah Berurah that you're supposed to do this every Friday night. No? If you want to be yodzei kiddush al hakos, which is the ideal way to be yodzei kiddush. So if you daven Ma'ariv Friday night, you're yodzei your kiddush in Shmona Esrei. No? So how you then yodzei kiddush al hakos? So the answer is, oh, you have in mind not to be yodzei. That's what the poskim say. Rabbi Chiyo Michal Tukachinsky writes that when you have Yom HaKippurim Shechalayos B'Shabbos, you should have in mind to be yodzei when you're davening at night, because you're not going to make kiddush that night, right? Yeah.
I feel there's like an assumption, like you plan on going to make kiddush at all costs. So is that like a de facto negative kavanah?
So it could be it's de facto negative kavanah, or even more ideally, you should specifically have negative kavanah.
Yeah, but if you don't.
If you don't have it, so the assumption is you could still make kiddush. Again, it could be that you're only making kiddush to be yotzei d'rabbanan, not to be yotzei d'oraisa at that time. But you know, we assume, like Orthodox Jews do, that mitzvahs d'rabbanan are also mitzvahs. So it's not such a problem. Okay? So Reb Kiva Eger tries to bring this raya, and he rejects it. He says, because you have kavana not to be yotzei. Now, it's worth noting that Reb Kiva Eger's tshuva is quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. They call this like the Gilyon of Reb Kiva Eger. So in the Gilyon of Reb Kiva Eger, on the page in Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin Vav, he uses a slightly different language than the tshuva. Reb Kiva Eger writes in the Gilyon that that is the takana that Chazal made. Meaning, it's not that I have in mind not to be yotzei, but the Chachamim make a takana that I should light Mahadran min HaMahadran, and that takana is I should light, and therefore I make a bracha on that takana. I don't need the whole razzle-dazzle thing about having in mind not to be yotzei, or Reb Kiva Eger saying on the Gilyon, on the page of Shulchan Aruch, is that that is the takana. Oh. Let's just pause over here, and we'll take some inventory. Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach asks the following question. We pointed out that Ner Chanukah is mitzvahs Ner Ish Ubeso. Translate the words Ner Ish Ubeso. It's not that hard. Ner Ish Ubeso. And his house. What does the his house do? The his house tells me that Lecha Ora, the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah is a mitzvah on the bayis. I think we spoke about this when we read the Gemara originally, that it's most similar to the mitzvah of mezuzah, which is a chovas hadar. It's a mitzvah on my house. Now, if that's the case, first of all, there's a discussion in Poskim. It could be that you need a house to light Chanukah candles, no? Poskim discuss, what happens if I'm flying on Chanukah? I get the shaila every year, probably 23 times. Right? Let's say I'm flying on Chanukah and I'm not going to light. So do I have a mitzvah to light? I'm not going to be at home. Do I have a mitzvah to light? So if, first of all, word to the wise, do not bring a menorah and light it on the airplane. Right? That won't go over well. Agreed? So what do you do? So some say you're exempt because you don't have a home that night. If you're homeless, Rachman Litzlan, so you don't have a mitzvah, Ner Ish Chanukah, no? Ner Ish Ubeso. If you have a house, you light. There's a special din of an achsenoi, of a guest, that I can combine into your home. I give you a pruta and I become part of your household. But I need a home to light Ner Ish Chanukah. So the mitzvah is on the home, and I need a home to be yotzei. Great. So Frecht Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he says, I don't understand. How can you have in mind not to be yotzei? If the mitzvah's on me, I could say I have in mind not to be yotzei. But once the mitzvah's on the home, it's like a statement of fact. It exists. Ner ishu beso. You already lit the candle in the home. You were yotze, whether or not you want to be. You are yotze. No? So how on earth could your kavana help? That's from Shlomo Zalman's kasha. Not bad, no? Not bad. Now, first of all, according to what Rabbi Akiva Eiger is saying on the Gilyon, obviously that question doesn't apply, because what he's saying over there is that, no, this is exactly the takana. The takana is that you make a bracha, right, and end of conversation, and you don't need kavana not to be yotze. But this issue, whether kavana not to be yotze helps by Neros Chanukah or not, is actually a very old machlokas. I don't think I gave this to you on the source sheets just because it's very long and not so easy to read. But if you read the Taz at the beginning of Simen Tuf Resh Ayin Zayin. Is that where it is? Yeah. The Taz at the beginning of Tuf Resh Ayin Zayin. You see, the Ramah paskins that if an achsenoi, if a guest wants to light on his or her own, you can. That's what the Ramah paskins. And this comes from a Maharil. Similarly, the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim said, now that I'm married, so my wife lights for me at home. The question is, let's say you want to light on your own. The husband is out learning in Kolal, obviously. They don't stop learning for Hanukkah candles. His wife is at home. She lights on time. If he wants to come back after and light, can he? So the impression you get from the Maharil is that that's permitted. But the Maharshal says, no, you're not allowed to do that. Maharshal says that if you do that, it's going to be a bracha levatola. And the Taz explains that the dispute between the Maharil and the Maharshal is precisely this. Can you have in mind not to be yotze when it's a mitzvah on the bayis? Right? L'cha'ora, you might not be able to. Now, alternatively, we could say something like this. I mentioned when we read the Gemara that the real mitzvah is ner ishu beso. Then there's mahadrin and mahadrin min ha-mahadrin, right? We could make a case as follows. That maybe when the Chachomim developed these new shlavim within the mitzvah, maybe what they're doing is they're modifying the mitzvah. Meaning, the original mitzvah, ner ishu beso, is a mitzvah on the house. After they instituted Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, they changed the mitzvah to become a mitzvah on the Gavra, a mitzvah on the individual. If I would say that, right, that they changed the mitzvah, so then I don't have Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's question at all. Because Rav Shlomo Zalman is asking, one second, right? How can you have in mind not to be yotze? I'll tell you what's going on over here. Right? It's not that I'm having in mind not to be yotze. I'm being yotze mahadrin. But being yotze mahadrin means that even though I was yotze, there's a new takana to light again. That is much more similar to what Rebbe Akiva Eiger says in the Gilyon, that the takana of the Chachamim is that everybody lights. And that takana can be, yeah, I was yotze, but I'm going to light again. A chiyuv on the house, yeah, that's the way the mitzvah used to be. But the mitzvah changed, right, with the mahadrin, and it became a chiyuv on the gavra. Sophia.
That makes a lot of sense if we're saying that the Shulchan Aruch never passed into that.
Shulchan Aruch never quotes the Iker mitzvah, that's correct. So the mitzvah now is only, and that's why the Maharil says, if I want a light on my own, I can, even though my wife already lit for me. If I want a light, I can. Why? It's a different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the gafra. Rachel.
I thought that Rosh Hashanah is like, kasha seems difficult to me, even on the basic level, because it's still ner ish, right? Ubeso is a qualifying feature, fine, but it's, I mean, you can't take it away from the gafra.
You know, The way Rashi translates ner ishu beis, so is ner echad b'chol layla v'ish v'chol b'nei beis al sagi lahu b'ner echad. There's one candle for the whole house. But it's a din on the house. Right? If I'm just an individual, if I'm homeless and I don't have a house, I don't have a mitzvah of hadlok this ner is chanukah.
It's a qualifying feature though. I mean, like, it's a sagi for the ish. And the man needs to have an heir. He only needs to have an heir if he has a bit bias.
I mean, I think what we're understanding is that ish is a way of saying a single candle. A single candle for the head of the household, for the whole house together. One candle, that's enough. Maybe. Eliana.
So, if I had multiple houses, like, why wouldn't you have to
write
in more than one house?
So, wait. That's going to be the Gemara about Chashad. Let's say I have different doorways. Right? What about different houses, right? If it's similar to a chiyuv of mezuzah, or maybe a din of bedikas chametz, these are dinim on the house, so you have a very good question, and a chanami. Right? Oh. So that machlokas between the Maharil and the Maharshal is probably connected to this discussion. I should just add, conceptually, why would the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah be connected to the house? So, I don't know anything. Rabbi Bleich knows everything. And in Rabbi Bleich, wrote an article, it's actually in volume 4 of his Hebrew Sefer, which was in Beis Yitzchak number 36, if you want to look it up. Rabbi Bleich has the following suggestion. The Rambam writes in Igeres Hashmat, that one of the gezeros that the Yevonim imposed on the Jews was that we were not allowed to close the doors to our homes. This does not exist in any of the contemporaneous sources. We have lots of sources about Chanukah. This isn't there, but the Rambam says it. Presumably, the Rambam had a source. In other words, there's some gezera that we can't close the door to our home. Now, if you can't close the door to your home, effectively that means that there's no such thing as private space. Everything is public. So the yontiv of Chanukah is a yontiv that's coming to restore our privacy. If that's the case, it makes sense why the mitzvah would be on the bias. Because the bias is playing a important role in the yesod of Chanukah. That's Rabbi Blake's argument. It's worth looking at. He has a whole essay there about this question. To what extent is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah din on the garfer? To what extent is it din on the bias? The Sfas Emes over here in Chaf Aleph from the Beis has a long essay about that question as well. But for our purposes, I just like the Hashgafa piece that he mentions at the end. Good. So Reb Kiva Eger deflects the Raya, as we mentioned. Then Reb Kiva Eger points out that he thinks his deflection of the Raya is against the Magen Avraham. No? Does anyone want to tell me how this deflection of the Raya is against the Magen Avraham? But basically, it goes like this. Okay, fine. No one put up their hands. But basically, it goes like this. The halacha is, the Rama Paskins, that we are not madlik miner l'ner. We don't light from one candle to the other. Why not? So the Magen Avraham explains, because candle one is the real mitzvah and candle two isn't the real mitzvah. And madlikim miner l'ner is only if they're all mitzvahs. If it's not all mitzvahs, so to go from a mitzvah to reshus, you're not allowed to. That means the Magen Avraham is assuming that candle one is a mitzvah, candle two isn't a mitzvah. But according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, candle one is not a mitzvah because you have in mind for it not to be a mitzvah until you light all of them. Adina!
Yes, okay. So how does that, we are really confused by this, because right after the Rabbi Shmuel says Sarkin Gadol, then he says Aval in Yemisbar Neros, that the first one is basically the lighting and the next ones are not. Which seems to imply that Rabbi Shmuel agrees to Magen Avraham that the first candle, when I'm lighting my menorah or whatever, I'm lighting my candles.
No, I think what he's saying is that within that Magen Avraham, what would emerge is that candle one is a mitzvah, and then you cannot make a bracha on candle two.
Right. His aval,
I think, is going within the Magen Avraham, not within his own take. Yeah, that last sentence of this paragraph, I think, is explaining that Magen Avraham, correct.
And so he thinks that your Kavana is...
He is not really moving away from what he said, but he's noting that what he said is against the Magen Avraham.
His rejection of his proof or his proof?
I don't... His rejection of the proof is against the Magen Avraham, right. But he's not completely moving away from his rejection. He's sort of... I don't know how to say it in English. He's being mefalpel, right? He's a pilpel. You know, you go back and forth, like, you say ideas. I think that's what he said. Then Rebbe Akiva Eiger points out that there's a machlokas between the Pri Chodosh and the El Yerabah. Let's say on night 7, you think it's night 6. And then you remember that's night 7. So you lit 6 candles and you want to light another candle. So there's a discussion, we pass, you should light other candles. Do you make a bracha? So he points out that the Pri Chodesh and the El Yerabah disagree about whether you make a bracha. That means that the possibility of making a bracha on Hiddur Mitzvah is open. Rebbe Kiveger is not convinced that this alone would suffice, so he combines two other positions. One position is, yeah.
But if we're saying that, like, the mitzvah, like, if Hiddur Mitzvah is over, right, and you shouldn't live at Reich, then why even bother lighting another candle?
Well,
that's just a stump.
I'm lighting another candle to, remember, I could get a mitzvah without making a bracha. So I'm going to light the extra candle so that people know that this is night 7 of Chanukah. I get the extra mitzvah of having it as night 7, etc.
Even though it's far, even though, like, I finished my masa
adlaka. I finished, and then I'm going to, I finished my masa adlaka, and then I'll light another one. Now, as you're thinking about, like, what Reb Vovel Soloveitchik said, whether you could do hiddur mitzvah after you stop the mitzvah, apparently over here everyone is saying that you can. Okay. So he points out that there is a machlokes whether you can make a bracha on hiddur mitzvah in general. Then he says, moreover, in this case, making a bracha is not so bad because the mitzvah is ongoing. Just like if I put on talis and I forget to make a bracha, I can make a bracha the entire time I'm wearing the talis. So also, the entire time the candle is burning, I can make a bracha. Then he gives a third snifla hakel, a third thing to add to the cholent, to allow you to make a bracha, and that's the position of the arzarua. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the arzarua, that comes up in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shechita and Siman Yutes of Yerideya. If I didn't make a bracha before I shechted the animal, can I make the bracha after? So the Rambam says absolutely not. Because according to the Rambam, the Birchas HaMitzvah is a matir. And once you did the mitzvah, a bracha makes no sense. But the Arzarua says, why not? Make the bracha after. And the Rambam writes that you can follow the Arzarua in certain cases. The Rambam quotes the Arzarua. Like in the case when the animal is a suffolk treifa, so you could shecht it and then make the bracha after if the animal ends up being okay. So now, Rebbe Akiva Eiger is saying that based on the sniff of these three things, you can, you can make the bracha after you lit the candles already, before you light the last candle, because A, maybe you can make a bracha on Hiddur, B, it's an ongoing mitzvah, C, this arzarua. That's Rebbe Akiva Eiger's maskana. A few things to point out. One, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that he has a better approach to Judaism than Rebbe Akiva Eiger, no? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, this is Tafresh Ayin Vav Sif Yudalit. If you didn't make a bracha when you lit the first candle, you can make a bracha when you're lighting all the other candles. Even though you require over Lasi Yosan according to the Rambam, but not according to the Arzarua. But by Ner Chanukah, since there's a mitzvah beri'iyah, the ikar pirsume nisa hi hari'iyah, yuchal avarech acharkach, like we say about drying your hands by Netilas Yadayim. In other words, what the Aruch HaShulchan is suggesting is that the mitzvah of Chanukah candles, it's similar to what Rebbe Kiva Eger said, that's like an ongoing mitzvah, but he's saying that it's an ongoing mitzvah to look at the candles after. The Gemara in Sukkah on Mem Vav says that the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim is a birchas haro'eh. And one of you asked me about this idea, like, do you have to sit and like look at the Chanukah candles the whole time? But you asked me that, right? So I think I pointed out that, no, you really don't have to. But like the Hasidic Rebbes like to do that. The idea is that there is some mitzvah involved in the Re'iyah, in looking at the Neros Chanukah. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, the fact that there's a mitzvah involved in looking at the Neros Chanukah, that itself is a reason why you can make the bracha after I lent. Because the mitzvah is not done. Just like I washed Netilas Yadayim, the mitzvah is not yet done. I have to dry my hands. Right? Tosfos says in Sukkah that the question is, how do I make the bracha on Netilas Lulav over Lasiyasan? It's like a complicated question the Balei Tosfos ask. Because the second you pick up the Lulav, you got the mitzvah. So you could turn it over, right? That's what most people do. It's easier to turn over the Esrog than turning over the Lulav. You end up poking your eyes if you turn over the lulav. I've done this by experience. Don't try it. Most assume you could also hold them far apart, and it's like you have kavanah not to be yotzei until you put them together, or you could leave one of them on the table and pick it up after you make the bracha. Or, right, the Balei HaTosfos have a suggestion that since the na'anuin, since shaking the lulav is part of the mitzvah, you can make the bracha before the na'anuin of the lulav. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, well, Re'iyas, Ner Chanukah, is a mitzvah like Na'anuim. Now, this is a little questionable, because usually I only make a bracha on a Maisa HaMitzvah, no? I don't know if the Re'iyah is considered a Maisa HaMitzvah, but this is what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying. He's comparing it to Niguv Yadayim, to drying your hands, and to Na'anuim, etc. Okay. Next to Ara, let's take this back to our discussion, though. If you remember, we pointed out in our youth that there is a question, a stira between Rashi and Rashi on the Rif. Who wants to fill in the stira between Rashi and Rashi on the Rif? Okay, more precisely. Good. Right. How do I translate the word?
Is that like a har or s?
Translate
right. The word mahadrin. Right. Does mahadrin mean mahadrin achar hamitzvot? I try to do more mitzvot. Or does mahadrin mean mahadrin es hamitzvah, that I enhance this mitzvah? And we spoke about this in the context of whether the hiddur mitzvah by Ner Chanukah is the same as hiddur mitzvah b'chol ha'Torah kula or not. Correct. By the way, if you look at Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of our Gemaras, right? Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Mahadrin or Mahadrin mitzvos, like we say in Bava Kama Daf Tes, Hidr mitzvah, Shlosh b'mitzvah. Right? The Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that's the regular din of Hidr mitzvah. The Algemeiner din, just to teach you a new Yiddish word, Algemeiner means general. It's the regular general din of Hidr Mitzvah, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, but according to Rashi, you get an impression, at least Rashi on the Gemara, it's a new din. Says Rav Shach, in that essay that I gave you, no? Rav Shach writes, he says, I don't understand this whole discussion with Kiva Eger. You make a bracha on Hidr Mitzvah or not, right? Over here, the Hidr Mitzvah is not regular Hidr Mitzvah. First of all, the Gemara says that there's a special takana of Mahadran and Mahadran and HaMahadran. That's the Din D'Rabbanon. That line of Rav Shach sounds like Rebbe Kiva Eger on the Gilyon of Shulchan Aruch. And then he writes, the Hidr by Ner Chanukah is not at all similar to Hidr by any other mitzvah. You see, Rav Shach, someone asked Rav Shach as follows. They said, listen, how can you entertain the idea that you make a bracha on Hidr Mitzvah? We paskin in Shulchan Aruch that let's say someone didn't make the bracha before the Mila, and then all you have left are those tzitzin she'enon ma'akvin es ha'mila that we spoke about last time. So we say you don't make a bracha. That means you don't make a bracha on Hiddur Mitzvah. So how on earth can Rabbi Akiva Eiger say that you do make a bracha? The answer is that the Hiddur Mitzvah over here is different than regular Hiddur Mitzvah. I can maintain by a normal Hiddur Mitzvah, I don't make a bracha. But by the Hiddur Mitzvah over here, I do make a bracha, because this is different. And the proof that we mentioned is the fact that Hiddur Mitzvah is only supposed to be a third of the Mitzvah, right? By the way, what does a third mean? This is going to be complicated. Let's say six. Let's say you bought a esrig for $6. Halafai, this should happen. Right? A regular esrig is $6. So how much is the hit? $600. How much is the Hiddur Mitzvah esrog? So there are two ways of saying it, no? It could be 8 or 9. Everyone gotten that? It could be $8 because 2 is a third of 6. So 2 plus 6 equals 8. Or it could be what's called a shlishmo bar, that I take the sum total and I divide it in 3. Right? 9, 1/3 of 9 is 6. All right, whatever. 6 is 2/3 of 9. You understand? So, the by nearest Hanukkah, though, I light 36 candles, even though Me'ikar Din Shalom light 8. That's more than a third. How does that happen? The answer is it's a different type of Hiddur Mitzvah.
I'm not a math major. Can you just explain the 9 thing again?
9? Okay, so Shlish Milabar means that I take a third after the sum total.
What's it equals to 1/3 of 6?
Got it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, I'm totally not good at explaining math. Like, she's now in fourth grade. Like, she asks me, like, math homework questions, and I'm like, like, fuzzy math. It's complicated. I don't know. I can't do fourth grade. What can we do? Huh? Long division was hard, yeah. I mean, now we have calculator. I remember, like, my teachers in elementary school used to always say, you're not going to have a calculator with you all the time. Ha, 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 I got them, right? What can we do? Fine. So that's the first yisod that we wanted to speak about in terms of the Hiddur Mitzvah. I want to go on to do the next Gemara, okay? Time is short, we have a lot to learn. Tana Rabbanan, where do you put your Ner Chanukah? Did anyone prepare the next Gemara? No. Okay, we'll do it now. Is that okay? We have like 5 more minutes, we'll begin the next Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beiso mi bachutz. Right? You put your Ner Chanukah on the door to your house on the outside. Now, what does that sound like? Chafala from the base, it's like a third of the way up from the bottom of the page. Mitzvah Chanukah, you put it al Pesach beiso mibachutz. So where do you put your Chanukah candles? Outside of the door to your house, correct? Sounds good. Rashi learns like that, basically. Rashi writes that you should put it outside Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. Velo Rishus Harabim. Rashi says, don't put your candle in Rishus Harabim. Ela Bachatzero, Shebatein Hayu Psuchin Lachatzer. Their homes used to open to the Chatzer. Let's just give you Gemara homes, what communities looked like in the time of the Gemara. This
a
is
Mavo.
A,
we're
going to try that. What? We'll talk about Mavo in a second.
That's in the structure.
So this is a bias, right? There's, let's say, 2 batim, 2 homes. And the homes open into
a
chatzir. Right? The chatzir, that's the way I'm supposed to pronounce it? Okay. And the chatzir opens into a... So let's say I have 2 more homes, bias over here, and these 2 homes open into chatzer number 2, right?
There's going to be mavoi.
And the 2 chatzeros open into a mavoi. You see that? Beautiful. Right? This is chatzer 1, chatzer 2. And the chatzers open into a mavoi. And the mavoi goes and leads to the wonderful Rishos HaRabim.
Like, that is the basics of everything. Rashi tells me that the location of my neighbor's Chanukah is Pesach Beso by the Chatzar. I light Chanukah candles by my door that leads into the Chatzar. The door of my home into the Chatzar. That's what Rashi says. Now look at Tosfos.
According to Tosfos, where do you light the Chanukah candles?
Petach HaChatzer means the opening of the Chatzer, which would be over here. No?
Unless there's a spot by Rishos
Aravim. So, if the house leads to Rishos Aravim, let's say you have a bias right over here, then Tosfos says you light your Chanukah candles right by the Pesach HaBayis. But if you don't have a house right near the Rishos Aravim, you light the Chanukah candles by Pesach HaChatzer. That's what Tosa says.
Everyone would light in one area?
So everyone would light in one area. And what's the problem?
Ain't Heker.
No Heker! Excellent! Like, Tosis was the champion of Heker in Judaism. Tosis says that I light my Chanukah candles by Pesach Hechatzer. That means there's no Heker. Because you're not going to know what's my candles, what's your candles, what's her candles. No one knows. But that's what Tosfos says. And we will have to discuss this next time we learn. The nafgamina of this is apartment buildings. Okay, think about where do you light Chanukah candles in apartment buildings. Now, in Yerushalayim, where do people light their Chanukah candles?
They're outside
their windows. What? Some people light it by their windows. Some people light it by the door to the building. No, you ever saw that? You ever saw like 10 different Chanukah menorahs all stacked up?
No, maybe. Just a lot of people
want to. No. Is that they are lighting by the entrance to the apartment building? And what we have to figure out is what is that based on? And we will also have to talk about where you light Chanukah candles in the Stern College dormitory.
But is that different?
Well, they don't light.
No, you can't light.
Right? You can only light in one place, right? That's the fish. So we'll discuss all of this, and I hope I don't get myself into too much trouble. Okay.